Well, it's the end of a wild week. Kind of nice to end it with some calm and some sanity. We actually have two wrestling shows to talk about tonight instead of other miscellaneous activities. It is a Friday night. This is your Smack Page review for Friday, September 9, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. Tonight was the SmackDown debut of Solo Sikoa, the newest addition to the Bloodline. Roman Reigns was not on the show tonight. Roman Reigns is not going to be on the show every single week. But Solo Sikoa was there, the Bloodline adding a member. And not only did he make his SmackDown debut tonight, but Solo Sikoa also made his first SmackDown main event, going one-on-one with Drew McIntyre before Drew was attacked at the end of the show by Karrion Kross. That looks to set up his next feud going into the next pay-per-view. We had more greatness tonight from Imperium and the Brawling Brutes. And it looks like it's happening, guys. I don't want to get your hopes up or anything like that, but it looks like it's happening. Finally, Triple H has been righting a lot of the wrongs of the previous regime. He's been bringing people's names back. He's been bringing talent back. He's been making little subtle changes to make the product better. And it looks like he's about to make one other very important change to one Max Dupri. We got a little tease that LA Knight could be on his way back. And it's not anything that happened on the show tonight. Actually, it has nothing to do with anything that happened on TV. It's something that happened after the show that you may not have seen. We'll get into that. Over on Rampage, we are covering Rampage tonight because this felt like an important week to do so. We had a match in the AEW World Championship Tournament. Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin. The winner meets Jon Moxley on TV next week. So we had that to open the show, and we had in the main event, for the second time this week, both AEW shows this week are headlined by a Ring of Honor championship match, a brand that still has no television. But we had the ROH Pure title on Wednesday night with Daniel Garcia beating Yuta to win the TV title, or the Pure title. Tonight we had the Ring of Honor World Championship on the line with Claudio defending against Dax Harwood of FTR. The common theme for both shows tonight, they were both good, and we had some good wrestling on both shows. Neither show was blow away. Neither show is going to be something that if you missed it, oh my God, you're going to go back and watch. But I thought they were good shows that set the table for things moving forward, especially on SmackDown. So we're going to talk about all of this. Again, this is your Smack Page review. Hit the subscribe button if you are not already subbed to the channel. We're looking at 500 likes tonight. That is the goal for tonight. The goal for tonight is 500. Now, I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but this week, specifically it was September 8th, 2020, this week marks 2 years since we started the Be the Booker segment here on this channel. Be the Booker looked very different. We used to use a different animation. But it is, in fact, the two-year anniversary this week. The very first stream where I ever did a Be the Booker segment was an NXT Super Tuesday stream where we talked about Adam Cole and Finn Balor for the NXT Championship. Here we are 2 years later. So if we're gonna Be the Booker, we got to get to 500. But let me thank all of you before we even go on, because this has been one of the busiest weeks on the channel, one of the busiest weeks in wrestling all year, and you guys have turned out in full force. We've had a lot of big streams going back to SmackDown last Friday, so I want to thank you for all of your support. Hopefully you will stick with me for the rest of September and into the fall. So let's start out with SmackDown, since that came first. We'll start with the blue brand. SmackDown opened with the finish to the Roman Reigns Drew McIntyre main event from Clash at the Castle. They showed the entire finish. None of this still photo bullshit that they usually do. Showing Solo Sikoa screwing over Drew McIntyre and costing him the championship. Shout out to Corey Blake, who just upgraded his channel membership from Superstar to Legend. Thank you, Corey. We go to ringside for the beginning of the show, and we have a tight shot of Michael Cole, who informs us that Pat McAfee is going to be gone for a while. He's doing the college game day stuff on Saturdays for the college football season. So we're not going to see Pat until the end of the year, maybe the beginning of next year. And so in his place, predictably, we have Corey Graves. And Corey is fine. Corey is the one who I figured they were going to go to. Me, I would have liked to have seen them maybe slide Wade Barrett over to SmackDown. Even if you did SmackDown and NXT, just slide over Wade Barrett, slide over Nigel McGuinness for a few months. I know why they didn't, you know, because Pat's going to be back. So why break in somebody new when you can just slide over Corey Graves like they always do? But it would have been nice to get a new face in the chair next to Michael Cole, or even like some people suggest, to put Triple H in the chair. We got Triple H and Michael Cole on that first pandemic show. That was entertaining. I wouldn't have minded seeing that. Hey, Brennis, thank you for becoming a Sound of Legend. Got a lot of legends in the chat tonight. All you legends. I'm going to call you League of Legends that we have in our chat here tonight. So we started with a six-man tag team match with Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and Bully the Clown. Bully the Clown, opening SmackDown tonight. You'll love to see it. Thank you to Temjin for that. You killed my spot. Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and Butch taking on all three members of Imperium. Butch, by the way, looking and acting more like Pete Dunne with each passing week. So they teased a spot with Sheamus and Walter early in the match when Walter was in the ring and Sheamus tagged himself in, and the fans in the building started losing their shit. They wanted to see these two guys back in the ring, one-on-one. I noticed that Meltzer gave Sheamus the full 5-star treatment. I think that's the first 5-star rating he's ever earned from old Meltzer over there. So if star ratings matter to you, and I know to a lot of you they don't, but it was cool. It was cool to see that match get the recognition that it deserved. There's so much emphasis put on star ratings, especially for one person. It is kind of dumb. But it was nice to see that match get the recognition that it deserved. So people were losing their minds. They wanted to see these two back in the ring together. They get back in the ring together. And so what do? They cut to commercial. That was their cliffhanger. They want you to tune in and still come back at the other side of the break. Well, we do come back on the other side of the break, but when we come back, there's no Sheamus and there's no Walter. And there's no mention of what happened during the commercial. They just tagged out. So we come back and we have Ludwig Kaiser in the ring with Ridge Holland. Butch eventually tagged in. He caught Kaiser in an armbar. Kaiser distracted the referee by selling an arm injury, which allowed Walter to hit Holland with a chop to the floor. Sheamus saw this. He walked over, and he and Walter traded punches at ringside, but it only lasted for a few seconds until Giovanni Vinci kicked Sheamus. Butch was isolated coming out of the break. We had another break. Butch hit Vinci with a step-up enziguri and tagged in Sheamus. Crowd went crazy for it. When I say hot tag, I mean hot tag. All of a sudden, Sheamus is one of the biggest baby faces in the entire company. It did not take very long. It was not very hard to get the crowd to get behind Sheamus. They went nuts when he tagged into this match. He hit the 10 beats on Kaiser, but he kept going. So he did 11 and 12 all the way to 20, and he kept going. And he did 21, 22, 23, 24, and the 25th one. Kaiser was kind of slinking down on the apron. As he kept pounding on this guy, he was kind of sliding down lower and lower. On that last beat, on that last punch that Sheamus delivered, he caught him right in the fucking jaw. I mean, he punched this guy right in the mouth. So everybody was counting along. They were going crazy for it. Sheamus then hit white noise on Kaiser while dropping him on top of Vinci. Sheamus hit Vinci with a brogue kick, but he was the illegal man in the match. Kaiser rolled up Sheamus for a two count. I did it again. Son of a bitch. Did it again. So nice, I had to say it twice. Yet another Kaiser roll here on SmackDown. I fucking love it. Sheamus tagged in Ridge Holland, who hit Kaiser with a clothesline to the back of the head. And Holland covered Kaiser, but Walter broke it up. Walter, see, it's not even right for me to say that Walter broke it up. He didn't just break it up. He broke it up by delivering a chop to the back of this man's neck. You saw sweat flying through the air. I mean, it's enough to probably send fucking reverberation down your spine. He chopped this fucker right in the back of his neck. Broke up the fall. Sheamus and Walter finally come together in the middle of the ring. These two start trading blows back and forth. They're trading strikes in the middle of the ring. All the others joined in. Sheamus and Walter fought out to the floor in the ring. Vinci caught Butch leaping from the ropes and held him up vertically before landing a brainbuster. And Vinci made a blind tag, held up Holland, while Kaiser hit him with the Imperium bomb. Kaiser covered Holland, and he got the pin to win it for Imperium. There was an ugly spot here. There was an ugly backdrop by Ridge Holland to Kaiser, where I thought Kaiser, he may have torn his knee out or something. Like, just the way he landed on his knee did not look good. If you look, go back and look at the referee's face, even the referee knew it. He made a face. Thankfully, you know, he continued on, and he seemed to be okay, but not the first time that Ridge Holland has been involved in an ugly spot on one of these shows. But I thought this was a great match. I very much enjoyed a very hot opener. When I say that this crowd was hot for Sheamus, I mean, they were hot for this guy. They were cheering everything he did. They couldn't wait to get him in the match. And one of the things I loved about this match here is the way that they tease the first showdown, the first meeting between Sheamus and Walter. You know, they teased it at the beginning, and then they cut to commercial. And then later on, we got it briefly on the outside of the ring, but then it got cut off. And then finally, they gave it to you a little bit later on. But they didn't give away too much. You don't want to give away too much on TV. So I thought that was smart. I thought it was brilliant the way that they teased that out. I'm all for the Sheamus love right now. I'm on board. I'm on board the Sheamus bandwagon right now. I mean, look, I've, you know, talked about how I thought he was underrated through all the pandemic shows. It's not like I haven't praised his matches in the last couple of years. He's usually one of the most consistent performers on the show. And as hot as the reaction was to him, and yes, I saw somebody mention piped in crowd noise in the chat, I was paying attention to that. With SmackDown especially, I always pay attention to the crowds when I hear the noise, and I want to see if it matches up to what I'm seeing in the audience, and it matched up tonight. You could see the people, they were clapping, they were jumping up and down for some of these sequences, they were going nuts. So this is and I also heard from somebody who was literally in the chat before the show even started, who was at the building. And so, yes, the crowd was very much into Sheamus. But he's doing some of his best work. I mean, look, the guy's 44 years old with spinal stenosis. And he's still turning out banger after banger after banger. Hey, you know, the babyface turn for the Brawling Brutes has been seamless. People have taken to these guys very quickly. And there is no doubt in my mind about who the man should be to take the Intercontinental title away from Walter. It should be Sheamus. I would like to see them hold off until WrestleMania. And I think I said this last week, and I still feel the same way. I would hold off until WrestleMania. And that is where I would have Sheamus finally win the one title he has not won. And I don't believe he's been Universal Champion, but who cares? That's a newer title. Nobody cares about the Universal title. Except Roman Reigns, I guess, who's been holding it for 700-something days. I kid the Universal title. But no, Sheamus should win the Intercontinental at WrestleMania. Now, what you can do is, going into Extreme Rules next month, because these guys are still working together, so what do? You can rematch them 3-on-3 at Extreme Rules, make it an Extreme Rules match. The match we saw tonight, run it back again at the next pay-per-view. But hold off on the singles match with the two of them until WrestleMania. Or if you do another one, Walter wins again, you come back around, Sheamus has to work his way back up to a shot. You know, and he works his way back up to it. You want a Jell-O pop? To me, that's the perfect time. And Walter should not have that title taken away from him anytime soon. So WrestleMania sounds about right as far as the time to do the title change. That's what I'd like to see. I want to see Sheamus be the one. I want him to get that moment in LA next year. Hopefully he can sustain the momentum that he has right now and get that moment at WrestleMania. That, to me, is what I would like to see. So Sami Zayn and the Usos made their way to the ring for the next segment. Sami, of course, is priceless. He's coming out. He's dancing around to the fucking Usos music. Is that what I heard, by the way? Did I hear Bratty Sala Monster? I thought I heard something. I thought I heard my bratty little ass there in one of the Super Chats. So Sammy's dancing to the Usos music. And Sammy tells the crowd that the bloodline is in your city. Started telling a story about growing up a young honorary Us. Jey Uso cut him off. He didn't want to hear any of this. And he talked about Roman Reigns still being the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. Jey said that Roman Reigns beat Drew McIntyre on his own turf in Cardiff. Little does Drew know just how deep the bloodline runs. And this was maybe my favorite part of the entire segment. So Jey says, little does anybody know how deep the bloodline runs. And Sami Zayn is standing right there and he chimes in. And Sami just goes, deep AF, my dog. And Jey turns. Now, Jey's got the straight face, right? He's the one who's always kind of very pissed off and annoyed by Sammy. As soon as he said, deep AF, my dog, Jey just turned to look at him. And you could see, like, right at the end before Jimmy starts talking, he almost cracked. One of these days on this show, he is just going to have a full-on melt. He's not going to be able to hold it in anymore. And Jey Uso is just going to lose his shit on live TV. He already did once before, but he covered his mouth. But you can see where Sammy almost got him. I think it's Sammy's mission in these segments to try to break Jey Uso and get him to react on TV. So he came close. But Jimmy started talking and introduced their younger brother, who is younger by 8 years, Solo Sikoa. He came to the ring. He got in the ring and was eyeing Sammy once he got inside. He was kind of nodding at him like, who the hell is this guy? Who the hell is this clown? And Sikoa said, you come for my family and I come for you. You create problems and I finish them. What is all this? Talking about coming and finishing. Well, what's going on here? Thought the show wasn't TV 14. Says Solo Sikoa is here to stay, and the bloodline just got bigger and stronger. Drew McIntyre's music hit. Out comes Drew with a chair in his hand. Sami Zayn and the Usos left the ring, but Sikoa stayed behind. He didn't budge. He stayed inside. When Drew got down to the ring, before he could get inside, Solo came over to him by the ropes. Drew hit him in the gut with a chair. So he was bent over. Drew got in the ring. And Drew was about to hit him right across the back with the chair. But before he could hit him, as the chair was coming down, Sami Zayn shoved Solo Sikoa out of the way and he took the bullet. He took the chair shot to the back. Second time we have seen Sami, at least second time, maybe third, that we have seen Sami Zayn take a bullet for a member of the bloodline. Somebody get this guy a fucking bulletproof vest. Get this guy a Kevlar vest. He's been taking so many bullets, this guy. But he took one for the team and Solo bailed outside the ring. And McIntyre yelled that he wanted Sikoa tonight. And Sikoa yelled back at him, you want it, you got it. So I thought this was great stuff. All these segments with Sammy. Anything with Sammy and the bloodline is going to be great. So I thought this was fine. And adding a new member now to the team makes things a little more interesting. Right, we've had the bloodline running roughshod on this show now for months and months and months, and now all of a sudden we have a brand new member, plus the stuff with Sammy. So they have found a way to make the bloodline, if you were starting to feel like, all right, this is boring, it's like, yeah, the NWO every week, you get to that point where it's like, yeah, okay, we get it. You know, they win, they beat people up. So at least they're making an attempt to kind of shake things up a little bit now. Because it's very clear with Roman winning at Clash at the Castle, he's not dropping that title or both titles until next year. Whether it's WrestleMania, whether it's Royal Rumble, whatever it may be, the bloodline is not going anywhere. The bloodline is going to be at least through WrestleMania. Bloodline's not going anywhere. So at least they're taking steps to try to spice things up a little bit. But here's the other thing I really liked about this segment. When everybody left the ring and bailed, when they saw Drew coming down with a chair, Solo Sikoa stayed right there where he was. He didn't run away. He didn't run scared. He stood his ground. So they're establishing him on day one. He's not some chicken shit heel who's going to tuck his tail and run, he's going to stand up to you. They call him a street fighter, right? He's the street fighter of the family. So you have to establish that this guy is street tough, and that's what they did here in this segment. We had Raquel Gonzalez and Aaliyah taking on Gigi Dolin and JC Jane of Toxic Attraction. This is the match that was supposed to happen several weeks ago in the women's tag team title tournament before Gigi got concussed. Aaliyah was isolated by the heels for a little bit. Raquel tagged in. Dolin caught her with a kick, tagged out. Heel set up for a double suplex, but Aaliyah ran in and speared Dolin. Raquel hit the Tejana bomb to JC Jane and scored the pin. Aaliyah is still looking very rough out there. It picked up a little bit when Raquel was in there. They're going to defend their tag team titles on Raw this Monday against Dakota Kai and Io Sky. We had a fatal five-way elimination match to crown a number one contender. The winner of this match would challenge Liv Morgan at Extreme Rules next month for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Ronda Rousey was in the match, along with Sonya Deville, Natalya Xia Li, and Lacey Evans. Hey, she's back! Lacey Evans, I think this was her first appearance of the Triple H era. She has basically... Triple H basically disappeared her when he took over. And this was her first appearance. And looking at how this match went and how she was used, they probably should have just kept her disappeared. Michael Cole said that Ronda Rousey was disciplined internally for what she did to Adam Pearce on TV last week. And the results would not be disclosed publicly. So when I heard this, I heard that there was an investigation by the board. And the results were not going to be disclosed publicly. I can't be the only one who thought, boy, that's a bad omen if we're expecting results for the Vince McMahon and Johnny Ace investigation, which we still haven't heard anything about. We still don't even know if that thing has been completed or not. So probably a bad omen if we're waiting on the results of this board investigation. But they actually tried to explain, because I said it last week, what sense would it make for Ronda Rousey to challenge for a championship? She's on probation. They told us last week this woman is allowed back, but she's on probation. And what's the first thing that she did? She put her hand, she assaulted a WWE official. She took Adam Pearce down and tried to break his arm. So what sense would it make to put her in a championship match or put her in a situation where she could, you know, try to become the number one contender for the title? Well, here she is in a number one contenders match, but at least they had Michael Cole on commentary try to explain it. But the way he explained it was actually hilarious. So he said that sources told him Adam Pearce got carried away, which he did, right? He called Ronda a bitch last week. If you're an official, you probably shouldn't be calling your top or one of your top female stars a bitch on live television. So they said that Pierce got carried away and he aired dirty laundry publicly. So that is why the decision was made to take the investigation or make the investigation behind the scenes, to take the whole thing behind the scenes. Taking a little dig at the AEW media scrum from hell. As soon as I heard that, I knew exactly why that line was put in there for Michael Cole to say. So I don't know if I'm sure most people picked up on it, but taking a little dig, making some fun at the expense of AEW after a week where, frankly, it's a mess of their own making. I mean, it was an easy target for them to take a shot at. So Rousey came out in a pink gi in tribute to her good friend, and I think trainer, the late Judo Jean LaBelle, who passed away recently. This was not good. And I feel like we just had a match like this. Didn't we just have some kind of fatal five-way with tag teams a few weeks ago? Just a few weeks ago. And they gave it, I think, 3 or 4 minutes. And I said, how are you going to have a fatal five-way that doesn't even go 5 minutes? The number five is in the name of the match, and you didn't even go a full 5 minutes. Well, here we have a fatal five-way singles match, elimination style, that again does not even go 5 minutes. You can't have a fatal four-way or a fatal five-way or a suicidal six-way or whatever you want to call it in less than 5 minutes. What's the point? This was not good. This felt rushed, because it was. Rousey put Natty in an armbar and forced her to tap out about a minute in. Xia Li hoisted up Ronda on her back. Rousey, though, slipped out and went for an armbar. And she rolled her into a pin for a two count. Rousey put Evans in an armbar while Sonya put her submission hold on Xia. So they had dueling submissions at the same time. Both women tapped out. They were eliminated 2 minutes into the match. That left Ronda Rousey and Sonya Deville as the final two. Rousey was caught in a chokehold by Deville. Rousey rolled to the ropes. Michael Cole explained that there were no rope breaks because it's a no DQ match. Rousey backed into the barricade to break the hold. Back inside, Rousey hit Piper's pit. And that put and then put Sonya in an ankle lock with a grapevine for the submission win. And Liv Morgan was up in the skybox, or one of the luxury boxes. She stood up. She held up her SmackDown Women's Championship as Ronda looked up at her. Again, a fatal five-way that doesn't even last a full 5 minutes. Why even bother? You may as well just pick names out of a fucking hat. Remember the old thing, the bingo thing they used to use when they would pick numbers for the Royal Rumble? What'd they call that thing? The tumbler? Put a fucking tumbler in the ring and just pick a number one contender that way. You'd be better off. Not a very memorable return for Lacey Evans either here in this match. So backstage, we have Jimmy and Jay. Usos are firing up their younger brother for his big main event debut tonight. Sami Zayn walks in and Sokoa goes over to Zayn. He says to Zayn, you know, Roman Reigns said that you're the man. And he was right. He agreed. Paying respect to Sami Zayn. And he said that he appreciated the help earlier on. Jey Uso, of course, was annoyed by all of this. And he said, Sami's getting up. He's all, you know, flustered. Like, what's your deal, man? Why you keep picking on me? What's your problem? So Jimmy said, enough. Enough of this shit. This is not about you guys. This is about Solo. Sami told Sokoa, look, if you need anything, if you need anything at all, we're going to be looking out for you. And Jay said that he knows that already. Tonight, though, Solo's going to have to do it on his own. He's going to go out there without the bloodline and have to beat Drew all by himself. Sami stuck out his hand for a handshake, and Solo went to go shake it, but Jay smacked his hand out of the way. And Jay said, you know what? Change of plans. We're all going to be out there in Solo's corner for the main event. In the back, elsewhere, Ronda Rousey, after her win, was walking the halls. She ran into Shayna Baszler, who wished her luck against Liv Morgan. And Ronda said, I know you're still upset about losing at Clash at the Castle. Ronda said that revenge is the best medicine and tells Baszler to call her when she's ready to break bones and run the show. I like it. Any kind of interaction that they're teasing on TV with these two, I'm all in favor of. Teasing an alliance between the two, or are they? Maybe they're not teasing an alliance. Maybe this was a subtle tease for Liv Morgan losing her SmackDown Women's Championship to Ronda at Extreme Rules, and then Shayna going after Ronda. Right? I mean, after all, Ronda's telling her, hey, when you're ready to start breaking bones and busting heads in this company, let me know. Well, what better way? Let Ronda win the championship back. And then Shayna can attack Ronda and say, hey, guess what? I'm ready. And that sets up your future feud between the two of them for the SmackDown Women's Championship heading into Survivor Series. Maybe so. But at least they're doing something with these two on TV. I've been asking for that for the longest time. Welcome, by the way. It is Friday night. We are talking SmackDown. We are talking Rampage tonight. So if you are just coming in, hit that like button. The goal tonight for Be the Booker is 500 likes. We're already less than 200 away, so we're not that far off. So again, hit that like button if you haven't already done so. This week is the 2-year anniversary of the Be the Booker segment here on these streams. 2 years have gone by. I've booked many shitty matches in those 2 years, but I'm hoping to turn it around tonight, unlike the fucking Mets. So we have Hit Row and the Street Profits taking on the Maximum Male Models and Los Lotharios. Mace got the better of Ashanti the Adonis, tagged in Mansoor. The heels were isolating Adonis. Humberto drop-kicked Adonis to ringside. He went for a suicide dive, but Angel, his partner, ended up taking the fire, some friendly fire, here in this match. Angelo Dawkins made a hot tag. He put Mace down. Then he hit a flip dive out onto Los Lotharios on the floor. Top Dollar teased the dive, but Maxine stood in his way. Maxine got up on the apron and blocked his path. B-Fab pulled down Maxine. Top Dollar caught Mansoor and held him up while Adonis drop-kicked him. That's their heavy hitter finish. And Adonis covered Mansoor for the win. So they are using the Street Profits to sort of prop up Hit Row and give them some rub. And it's working. I mean, at least here tonight, it looked like it was working. People were, you know, responding well enough. I do think they need some help. You know, a few weeks ago, and they were coming out there, and they came out and did that rap a few weeks ago, and that kind of died a death. So they're trying to use the Street Profits to help get these, you know, get these guys over. The male models were already a dead-end gimmick. I told you they would be. I mean, they're pretty much right where you expected them to be. So that is the fate of the Maximum Male Models. Max Dupri deserves better. It goes without saying. And it looks like Triple H agrees. So I said earlier, there was a segment that was not part of the actual show tonight. This was a digital exclusive that they posted online on WWE social media. They were in the back after their loss. They were licking their wounds, right? We had the male models. We had Maxine. We had Max was pacing back and forth. And he was trying to rally them and give them a pep talk. And he said he's learned you have to go through the day to get to the night. And when he said night, he had this eureka moment. He stopped as if he realized something. And then he just said, yeah. And he walked off. So a little tease. I don't know if they're going to go all the way with it and split him away from these guys, which is exactly what they should do. But I don't think Triple H would be teasing this unless he had something in mind. It looks like we might be getting LA Knight back soon enough. You can leave Maxine with the other dweebs. She can manage them just fine. They could be their, you know, that low-card, mid-card tag team on the roster that gets beat. You feed them to actual tag teams that you want to actually do something with. There's no reason for LA Knight to have anything to do with this anymore. They've used this gimmick to introduce him to the main roster. There's nothing you can do about that. Now Triple H, it looks like, might be beginning the process of breaking him away from this. LA Knight could be a top name on either show. Heel or babyface. He's proven that he can be versatile. He can be a heel. He can be a babyface. He's gotten over in both roles. So you kind of look at the SmackDown roster as it is, and you say, well, what do we need more of on SmackDown? Well, they can use another top babyface. So I'm hoping that this is the first tease of what is ultimately going to be the return of LA Knight. I am hopeful. I am now optimistic that Triple H knows what the fuck he's doing because he's the one who brought LA Knight to NXT. And he didn't bring him over as an agent. He didn't bring him over as a manager. He didn't bring him over as fucking, you know, the head of a modeling agency. He brought him over as LA Knight. And he did well for himself in NXT. One of the more enjoyable programs and feuds in the last few years in NXT was the whole program with LA Knight and Cameron Grimes. But again, he's played both roles. It just seemed like a slam dunk to me. The guy, he's fine as a worker. He's not going to go out there and be flying all over the place, but it's not like he can't work. But he can talk, and he's got charisma for days. He seemed like a natural fit, someone Vince McMahon would love to have on a Raw or a SmackDown. He's got some size to him. I can never understand why is this the best that he could come up with? Oh, yeah, we recognize that this guy could talk, so I got a great idea. We'll use him to get other people over that after 6 weeks, we're not going to do anything with. So now they're all dead. It never made any sense. Fuck that. This guy can be on his own. This guy could be a star for you. Triple H sees that. LA Knight is on his way back. Chad Gable and Otis made their entrance. Yes, this is SmackDown, not Monday Night Raw. This is a SmackDown review. Here comes Chad Gable and Otis. Brand split? What brand split? I don't know what you're talking about. We have the Street Profits on this show. We have Otis and Gable. What brand split? Draft. What draft? You don't need a draft. Everybody goes wherever they want to anyway. What the fuck is the point of a draft? Gable said that it was a lucky night for the fans because he and Otis were back on SmackDown, which is where the Alpha Academy was born. They were born on the blue brand. He said they were there to ruin Braun Strowman's big return, just like he ruined their chance at a tag team title shot when he interfered in their match on Raw Monday night. Gable claimed that he and Otis had the match won before Strowman jumped them from behind. Gable said that Otis would have decimated Strowman had he seen them coming, or had he seen Strowman coming. And then he mocked the crowd, and he said that Seattle could not even hold on to their basketball team. And oh boy, oh my God, these fans in Seattle did not like hearing that at all. I'm noticing that these Seattle fans are very sensitive when you bring up the Supersonics, when you bring up the basketball issue and the fact that their basketball team fucking ditched their ass. They don't like that very much. I think Elias and Kevin Owens made that very clear in their segment on Raw a few years ago, which is still, to this day, I will go back and bring that clip up on YouTube every now and then, and I just enjoy the greatness of it. Because every single heel that has ever been in the wrestling business would absolutely, they would go on a murderous spree to get the kind of heat in the building that Kevin Owens and Elias had on Raw that one time, when Elias made a crack about them not having a basketball team anymore. And it was just minutes long, a sustained reaction. This was not the same sustained reaction that they got, but this crowd was not very happy about Gable making their crack. But I guess, look, I mean, yeah, they're very sensitive about this kind of thing. You would think that, you know, by now they would have gotten over it. But then I also think about the Dodgers, and there are still people here who are bitter about the fact that the Dodgers left Brooklyn for L.A. in 1957. And I looked up, I said, exactly when did the I couldn't remember, when did the Supersonics leave? And it was 2008. So it's still, I guess, a fresh wound for all the people in Seattle. Enough time has not gone by yet. They haven't forgotten. They still harbor these great feelings of anger over what happened. Easy heat. If you're a heel, it's easy heat. Braun Strowman came out. He's got new theme music. It sucks. He is, by the way, an official member of the SmackDown roster. It looked like he was going to be on Raw because he was on Raw Monday night, but PW Insider says internally he is listed on the SmackDown roster going forward. But then again, I mean, what does it fucking matter, right? We have Otis and Gable on this show, and they're Raw guys. So it doesn't matter what the internal roster list. Braun Strowman's going to be on whatever fucking show he wants to be on. I'm surprised he didn't show up on NXT this week and kill all the NXT talents. So out comes Braun, and Strowman worked over Otis. Gable hit Strowman from behind and then tried to run away. Strowman caught him and roughed him up. Strowman powerbombed Gable, and then he set up Otis for the powerbomb. And he picked the big guy up, and he dropped him, and he posed. And everybody went nuts. Not surprising. I mean, he just came back. This is his first time on SmackDown in over a year, at least. Right? I mean, it's always, hey, big return, big reaction. Let's see if he's still getting these reactions in a few weeks. But what they did with him this week, now, I wasn't happy about what they did on Monday. If you were going to have him come out and beat people up, let him beat up the 24/7 goofs who aren't even getting 24/7 segments anymore. They're just sitting in the back. Send them out there. You know, that would have been a perfect opportunity for Triple H to officially get rid of the 24/7 title. He could have had them, you know, all those guys out there. Here comes Braun, lays waste to everybody. You want to do feats of strength? You have him grab the 24/7 title and rip that shit in half. And that's it. It's dead. That would have gotten a pop out of me. Braun Strowman, I would have been a Braun Strowman fan for life. That's what they should have done. Instead of having him destroy 85% of the tag team division. Now they're going to run that match back again next week. What's to say he's not going to come out and do the same thing again? But he gets over when he does it, because this is the way you book Braun Strowman. You send him out there, he could do feats of strength. You send him out there, and he just beats the fuck out of people. I mean, what's not to cheer for? It's the easiest way to get the guy over. You don't put a microphone in his hand and let him go out there and cut a fucking speech for 15 minutes. Nobody wants to hear that. Let him go out there and kill people. So far, so good. The people are into him. Guy's in the best shape of his life. And now they have a guy on SmackDown who they can plug in as an opponent for Roman Reigns on a pay-per-view in the future if they need somebody to put in there with Roman Reigns. He's not going to beat him. I would not have Strowman beat Roman Reigns. But he's a guy who, you know, when you get to that point, you're not going to beat him now. But late in the year, early next year, you need a pay-per-view main event. Before you get to WrestleMania, you could do Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. The two of them had a pretty good feud back in the day. Some of the best matches Braun ever had came against Roman Reigns. I wouldn't object to seeing that again. So Drew McIntyre was interviewed in the back by Kayla Braxton. Maze in the chat says, didn't you say you never wanted to see the 24/7 nonsense again? Yes, that's exactly what I said. But the title still exists. When Dana Brooke comes out, she still has the 24/7 championship. I don't want it to exist anymore. I want it to be dead, bro. Dead. I want it to be killed. Officially killed off. That's how you do it. Then there is no belt. If there's no belt, then there's no 24/7 shenanigans anymore. What's stopping Triple H from starting it all over again next week? I want to guarantee that he won't be able to. To do that, you have Braun rip the belt in half. See? And it's all over. Now, Drew was in the back with Kayla Braxton. He was very upset. He had a very stoic look on his face. He said Clash at the Castle should have been the biggest night of his life. He said that he would be champion if it wasn't for Solo Sikoa. He said that he's sure the head of the table is very happy with him, but actions have consequences, and Solo Sikoa would not like the consequences of his actions. This was short. This was sweet. I thought this was some good low-key intensity from Drew. He played it up exactly the way that he should have. He went into Cardiff in front of 60,000 people. He got screwed. He should be the champion right now. He comes out tonight, earlier in the night, ready to just kill people. Here, he's very low-key. You can see the look on his face. He's very upset. I thought he played this exactly right. He played this exactly the way that he should have. Main event was Drew McIntyre against Solo Sikoa. McIntyre hit an early Future Shock DDT that Sikoa, he didn't take it well. Didn't even connect. Usos pulled him out to safety to regroup. Sikoa was on the offensive. He got some help from his corner while the referee was being distracted. Sikoa hit a belly-to-belly suplex, covered Drew for two. McIntyre rallied and set up for the Claymore, but he had to run the Usos off the apron first, and Sikoa rolled him up for a two count. McIntyre cleared Sikoa and the Usos to the floor and then set up for a dive, but Sami Zayn grabbed his foot and stopped him. He set up for a Claymore kick to Zayn. Sikoa, though, cut him off with a super kick and covered him for a good near fall. McIntyre ran the ropes, and the Usos held the top rope down, and there goes Drew McIntyre out over the top rope to the floor. Now the Usos are ganging up on this guy. The referee is being distracted, and Jimmy and Jay are just pummeling Drew on the outside. Here come the Street Profits. They run out to make the save and chase off the Usos. Montez Ford went up top. He dove out onto Zayn and the Usos on the floor. In the ring, McIntyre avoided the Samoan drop, and he hit Solo Sikoa with a Claymore kick, but this was Yokozuna at SummerSlam 93. The guy hit his finish, and the Samoan fell out of the ring to the floor. Only this time, Drew McIntyre was not encouraging the referee to count the man out of the ring. Although he could have, right? There are no titles on the line. You still win by countout. But he knocks him out of the ring. And as soon as he knocks Solo Sikoa out of the ring, who sneaks up from behind and grabs Drew? Karrion Kross. I had completely forgotten about Karrion Kross. Didn't even have him on my mind. So that caught me by surprise, even though it shouldn't have. He grabs Drew McIntyre from behind. The referee calls for the disqualification, and he locks on the cross jacket submission. When he attacked Drew, as soon as he arrived on the scene, they did this new effect where they turned the entire screen black and white. So he has Drew locked in the cross jacket. The screen is black and white. Scarlett is in the ring. She's practically got her face right up to where McIntyre's is. She's just staring at him and smiling. And he's choking the life out of this guy. And Drew is struggling. A couple of times he tried to fight his way out of it, but he couldn't do it. Tried to power out. But he was fading fast. And Michael Cole called for help as the show went off the air and they faded to black. So as if Drew was getting sleepy and fading, we faded out to black. I thought the fade to black effect, the fade to black attack, the fade to black effect. There we go. I thought the effect was actually well done. I don't have any issue with them doing that. The black and white, very lame. They have to get rid of that. Very lame. Again, I don't have an issue with them using the black and white for his entrance. And I don't have an issue with them doing the fade-out thing that they did at the very end. But there's no need to, as soon as he arrives, as soon as he does anything, to turn the entire screen black and white. Especially for what was supposed to be a spontaneous run-in. Right? I mean, he's supposed to be just running in without anybody's knowledge, and all of a sudden the fucking screen turns black and white. It's very dumb. You can keep the fade-out effect at the very end. Get rid of the black and white shit that came before it. Just get it out. It doesn't have to be there. It just makes this... I thought it made this very lame, the way that they did that. But he leaves Drew McIntyre laying to close out the show. You know, for his first main roster main event, I thought Solo Sikoa did well. There were a couple of rough spots in the match, but I thought they were minor. He looked like he belonged. He didn't look terribly out of place or anything like that. He's coming off what I actually thought was a very good Falls Count Anywhere match only weeks ago on NXT with Von Wagner. He was impressing me. He was one of the more impressive people, I thought, in NXT, picking things up very well. He got over with the crowd at the PC. So him in this main event, I thought he had a good showing here. And this clearly sets up Drew's next feud now going forward with Karrion Kross. Maybe they could even headline Extreme Rules with it. Roman Reigns is not scheduled for Extreme Rules. So unless something changes, Roman Reigns is not going to be on that show. So something else is going to have to headline the show. And since he has both belts, it's not going to be a world title match. It's not going to be a universal title match. Maybe it's McIntyre and Cross. I thought this was a good episode. Even though the women's division continues to be a complete fucking mess, other than that, I thought this was a good episode of SmackDown tonight. So we switch over to Rampage on TNT. Rampage opened with an opening round match in the AEW World Championship Tournament. The Grand Slam Tournament of Champions is what they are calling it, between Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara. Jim Ross was on commentary after being held off the show. No reason why, no explanation given. He was in the building, obviously. But Jim Ross was not used on Rampage or on Dynamite Wednesday. I'll be honest with you. Until the show was over on Wednesday, I didn't even notice that Jim Ross was missing. I mean, you can keep him off the show and just have him do Rampage, and I think that would be fine. I don't think the show was any better or any worse. Certainly not any worse with him not being there. Excalibur, Tony, and Taz, they can handle it just fine. Early in the match, Ty Mello stood in the way of a Darby Allin dive attempt. Sammy was on the floor. She stood in the way to protect her husband. Darby then looked and said, ah, fuck it. And he hit the ropes, and he was coming off for a suicide dive anyway. Sammy moved his wife out of the way, and as Darby came shooting out of the ring, Sammy caught him and dropped him with a cutter on the floor. They timed that perfectly. So we went to our first picture-in-picture. Back from break, Sammy hit a super kick, went up for a shooting star, but Darby moved and hit a code red for a two count. On the outside, Ty distracted Darby and Guevara kicked him. The newlyweds made out. Darby, though, broke it up with a tope. Back in the ring, Allen took off Guevara's wedding ring and stomped on his hand. Allen gave Ty the ring, and Guevara hit Darby with a knee, put the wedding ring back on, and flipped everybody off. Sammy hit a double springboard cutter for two, and then he went up top with his own version of a coffin drop. But on the way down, Darby got his knees up. Actually, no, Darby moved. He didn't get the knees up. He moved. Anna Jay ran down. She distracted the referee while Sammy hit a low blow and then powerbombed Darby onto the underside of his own skateboard where the wheels are and everything. That looks like it would have fucking sucked to have taken that bump. But that's the story of Darby's career, right? He's constantly taking bumps that look like they suck to take. So it wouldn't be a Darby Allin match without it. Powerbombed on the back of his own skateboard, and then Sammy hit the go to hell and he got the pin. So Sammy Guevara advances in the tournament, which guarantees a John Moxley victory on Dynamite last week. With Darby Allin, had he moved on to the next round, there would have been doubt. I think there would have been a lot of doubt as to who's going to walk out of there, and it would have made that match on Wednesday a lot more interesting. I was kind of hoping that Darby would go all the way to the finals to set up a Darby-Danielson final. We haven't seen that match before. I actually think that could be a very good match. It's a match that has not been done. So I was kind of hoping that they would give it to Darby and have him move on to the finals. But, you know, Moxley against Danielson, you look at the bracket, it really is the biggest possible match they could give the fans at Arthur Ashe Stadium is John Moxley, Bryan Danielson, part two, because they wrestled once before. If you remember, that's when William Regal debuted, when the match was over. So that is the biggest possible match they could do. And also, I feel like after the promo he cut on Dynamite on Wednesday, Moxley deserves a spot in the finals. After the promo on TV, how does he not at least, if not win the whole thing, how does he not at least go to the finals? So I get it, and I also get why they did it, probably the reason why they did it. Now the semifinals are set up as a member of the Jericho Appreciation Society against a member of the Blackpool Combat Club. You have Chris Jericho against Bryan Danielson, and you have John Moxley against Sammy Guevara. And that's why they did what they did. They have BCC against JAS, two matches on Dynamite next week. The Ring of Honor television champion, Samoa Joe, was out next for an in-ring promo. He said it feels oh so good to be back in AEW. He apologized for being gone and said that he owes us much more violence in the future. Yes, he does. He said he was back in business and before he was finally interrupted here by Smart Mark Sterling, who walked out with Tony Nese and Josh Woods. Because Josh Woods saved Smart Mark from a beating from Wardlow, he has earned a shot at the Ring of Honor television title. This is according to Smart Mark. That's the logic that he used. Therefore, he now deserves a shot at the ROH TV title. And Joe is ready to go tonight. He goes, let's do it. And Sterling said, no, I don't think so. We're going to do this next week. We had a Miro video package. He was upset. I mean, when is he not upset? Every Miro video package, he's pissed off about something. Here, he was pissed off that Malakai was gone. He didn't actually mention Malakai by name, but he sort of inferred they had unfinished business and now he wasn't going to be able to finish it. And he talked about being passed over and there's another tournament for another championship. And of course, Miro was not in that tournament. Talked about his god. He talked about his hot wife. He wants to be belted. Maybe his hot wife can belt him. They can keep that in the bedroom. But if he's talking about belting with a wrestling championship, then I agree. If I'm him, I would be pissed too that I'm not in the world title tournament. We had Serena Deeb one-on-one with Madison Rain. This didn't last very long. Madison got a little bit of offense in, but this was basically a squash for Serena Deeb. She won with the Serenity Lock. I thought this was actually pretty lame. Toni Storm in the media scrum, lost in all the noise of all the bullshit. Toni Storm was interviewed at the media scrum, and she did mention Serena Deeb when somebody brought up Serena, because she couldn't think. She got asked a question, who do you want to work with? Who do you want to defend your title against? And she was kind of stuck for an answer, and somebody said Serena, and then she was like, oh my God, yes, of course, I would love to work with Serena Deeb. That's the one. She's the one I want to work with. It looks like she's going to get her wish, right? They're building Serena up for something. And now we find out that Serena is going to be tagging with Britt Baker on TV next Wednesday against Toni Storm and Hikaru Shida. So it looks like Serena Deeb is probably going to get the next shot at Toni Storm's title. Lexi Nair was in the back with the TBS champion, the other women's champion, Jade Cargill. They bleeped the word shit this time. Every week on TV, she says, Toni, cut the shit. Or she says shit in some way. Everybody on this show says it. They do it. But this one time, for whatever reason, and mind you, this is, what time is this? Probably 10:30 on a Friday night. They bleeped it out. I don't know if that's a new thing. I don't know if that's going to happen again next week, but they bleeped out the word shit. She said Athena now goes to the back of the line because she lost at All Out. And she said the rest of the women's division need to bring it. I said this on Twitter earlier tonight during the show. Now that Chris Statlander is gone, unfortunately she's going to be gone for a long time. I was hoping she would be the one to dethrone Jade and take the TBS title. It's not going to be Chris Statlander. I certainly don't want to see Jade just continue like this for 9 fucking months. Frankly, I think it's already getting old. Jamie Hayter should be the one to dethrone Jade Cargill. I was going through the roster in my mind and thinking, man, Athena lost. Unless they rematch them in New York and ban the baddies from ringside, if not Athena, then who? I was coming up empty, and then I said, wait a minute. Jamie Hayter. Just like Chris Statlander, an AEW original, someone who didn't come from WWE, right? She's someone that came in. A lot of people didn't know who she was. I mean, you'd have to be a real hardcore wrestling fan to really have followed her career and know who she is. So I consider her to be an AEW original, just like Chris Statlander. And just like Chris Statlander, Jamie Hayter has been getting over naturally. Now we're finally seeing the split with her and Britt Baker. Here's what I would do. Jade is 37-0. Let her go all the way to 49-0. That's going to take some time. In the meantime, Jamie Hayter can feud with Britt Baker. You can continue the story with them. I'm sure they'll have a match at some point. I don't know if it'll be at Full Gear or if they'll do it sooner. Jade's not going to hit 49-0 in the next few weeks. It's going to take a little while. When Jamie finishes her feud out with Britt Baker, she'll be on her own. She'll be a babyface. She'll have a lot of fan support. Jade, in the meantime, keeps racking up more wins. And when you get to 49-0, Jamie Hayter is going to be the one who spoils it, spoils her 50-0 run. She'll go 49-1, drop the TBS title to Jamie Hayter. That's what I would do. That is what they should do. I would have Hayter be the one to dethrone her. After a break, Lexi Nair was now with Powerhouse. Boy, she gets around. She was with Powerhouse Hobbs in the back. He said that at All Out, he put Ricky Starks 6 feet deep. And now everybody that he is, he told that he's going to be opening up the Book of Hobbs. And he is going to show everyone that he is the Monstar. And I was very offended by this because he is jacking my name. This guy is jacking me here. He's jacking my name. I am the Solomon Star. I don't need this guy going around calling himself the Monstar. There's only one Monstar. You're looking at him. And by the way, I don't know if you noticed, back-to-back interviews here in the backstage area with no interruptions. I was shocked. That was the biggest surprise to me of the entire night. I think Tony Khan really, he was very much preoccupied by all the CM Punk stuff. This is very unlike him. He's obviously not feeling like his normal self. We had 2 interviews here and nobody interrupted. 3, if you want to count what came next. We had the Mark Henry segment for the main event. William Regal was with Claudio in one window. Dax Harwood was by himself in the other window. He had his tag titles over his shoulders. William Regal spoke first. He said that, you know, I hired you, Dax. He said, I hired you out of obscurity 13 years ago. And Claudio said that Dax is exactly the kind of competitor he wants to defend the title against and be in the ring with. And Dax said that, you know, I get it. I get it. Most people don't think I have a shot at winning the Ring of Honor world title. They think, oh, I'm a tag team guy. Of course he's not going to win. And he said, Mr. Regal, you're right. 13 years ago, you did pluck me out of obscurity. And I have no intention of ever going back there again. This is how I feed my family. And tonight, I'm going to become the Ring of Honor world champion. Top guy out. I liked it. Nice back and forth here. That led to the main event. Claudio Castagnoli defending the Ring of Honor World Championship against one half of FTR in Dax Harwood. Caprice Coleman joined for commentary because it's a Ring of Honor match. They have Bobby Cruz on ring announcing duty. Caprice Coleman comes out to join the commentary booth, which has Jim Ross. Was Tony there? I don't even remember now if Tony Schiavone was there. Excalibur and Chris Jericho, who was screaming throughout the entire show. Caprice Coleman sits down, and he immediately cuts off Jericho, who was screaming about something on commentary. And he says, do you realize the rest of the class is using their inside voices? I'm like, yes. Thank God someone said something. I'm glad he said it. So they did the Bret Hart Dynamite Kid double suplex spot out over the top rope heading into the first commercial break. It was nearly identical to the same spot that Sammy and Darby did in the opener. And they did it again here. After a break, Claudio sent Harwood into the ring post, which he took a very awkward, nasty fall out of the ring. It kind of spun him a little bit. It almost looked like he was going in ribcage first, but then it kind of spun him, and then he fell on his head on the floor. He set up Dax for a superplex. Harwood fought out of it with chops. Chopped him down to the mat. Came off the top with a diving headbutt for a near fall. Harwood countered a neutralizer attempt with a pile driver, also for a near fall. Dax went for went to the top rope again. Claudio flew in with an uppercut and then hit a superplex for a near fall. So we had one last commercial break. Two commercials they stuck here in the middle of this match. That's almost as bad as sticking in a commercial right before Sheamus and Walter are about to lock horns. Come back. Harwood catches him with a slingshot Liger bomb. He placed Claudio on top, went for a back suplex, but Claudio turned his body on the way down and fell on top of Dax, but Dax rolled through. Got a near fall out of it. Claudio kicked out. They traded strikes. Claudio just fucking killed this guy with uppercuts. Then came the giant swing into the sharpshooter. Dax struggled to get to the ropes. Claudio transitioned into a crossface, but Dax rolled out of it, and this time he locked on a sharpshooter of his own. Claudio broke free, rained down elbows. I love Claudio. You guys know I'm a big fan of his work. I'm not a big fan of his elbows here in this match. He was doing the whole spot where you rain elbows down on your opponent. These were the weakest looking elbows I've ever seen. And I'm a big believer that if you are going to do a spot, whether it's punches, whether it's forearms, whether it's kicks, whether it's elbows, whatever it is, if you're going to do it and make it look this bad, don't do it. If you're afraid you're going to hurt the other guy, I don't want these guys going in there and injuring anybody, don't do it. But if you're going to do it, lay them in, make them look good. These elbows did not look good at all. So he's delivering weak-looking elbows. He locked on one final sharpshooter, and Harwood had no choice but to tap. Claudio retains. Another very good match for Dax Harwood in a long line of them this year that he can put on his resume for 2022. When we make a case at the end of the year for why this guy should be the wrestler of the year, this will be one of the matches on that list. Now, on commentary, Jericho at one point mentioned the fact that, you know, I've never been the Ring of Honor world champion before. And this is the tease that I mentioned at the beginning of the stream when I said that there was a very intriguing potential future challenger set up here for the Ring of Honor world title. I don't know if it was a throwaway comment by Jericho or if there's some plan in the back of his mind to do something in the next few months. But it sounded to me like they were planting a seed for Jericho and Claudio, maybe a Jericho-Claudio feud with Chris Jericho telling the story that the Ring of Honor world title is maybe the only world title that he's never held. Now, you know, we know he's not been the IWGP champion, he's not been the Impact champion, but they can still tell that story, right? He's been WWE champion, he's been AEW champion, but he's never been Ring of Honor world champion. And he wants to go for that title. I actually think Jericho and Claudio would be a lot of fun. They want to do a program with those two, get them in the ring together. It would certainly bring some more importance, shine, you know, more of a light on the Ring of Honor world title. Because you know whatever Jericho is going to be doing on these shows, it's going to get a pretty decent amount of exposure on TV. So I think it'd be a great spot for Claudio to be in. We still have the same problem, though, where it's these constant defenses of Ring of Honor titles on TV when there's no Ring of Honor television show. It's just a bunch of belts. Maybe a pay-per-view once every 3 or 4 months. There really is no brand. Ring of Honor does not currently exist as a brand, but we have titles all over the place. We have the world title, we have the TV title, we have the pure title, we have the tag team titles, we have the women's title. I know Mercedes Martinez is out hurt right now. No show. They need their own show. We had 2 Ring of Honor championship matches headline both episodes of AEW television this week. I enjoyed both matches. They were both very good professional wrestling matches, but you can't keep doing that. It's an AEW show. You need to put AEW titles on the line if you're going to do a title match. AEW titles should be the titles that are defended. You've got plenty of those. Sticking in these Ring of Honor matches here and there, that's only going to go on for so long. You got to have a place to put all these people. You got to have a place to defend these championships. They need TV. I know it's not easy. Hey, snap your fingers and boom, you have a TV show. But whatever Tony Khan is working on, he needs to work harder. Because I enjoy a good wrestling match as much as the next person, but I'm not invested in any of these Ring of Honor titles. I'm really not. Maybe the tag belts because of those great matches that FTR had with the Briscoes, but do I really care about the TV title? I love Samoa Joe. Couldn't give 2 shits about the Ring of Honor TV title. You know, the pure title? I don't care. I'm glad to see Claudio getting a push with the Ring of Honor world title. He would have been my pick, too, to be the face of that brand. But what brand? Where does this brand really exist? It's a good show, though. I thought both shows this week were good. Dynamite this Wednesday has Toni Storm and Hikaru Shida taking on Britt Baker and Serena Deeb. Excalibur did make the mention on commentary that with her relationship with Jamie Hayter being on the rocks, Britt Baker chose Serena to replace her. Jon Moxley takes on Sammy Guevara in the Tournament of Champions, and Chris Jericho will take on Bryan Danielson in the other semifinal match in the World Title Tournament. Next Friday on Rampage, Samoa Joe defends his TV title against Josh Woods, and that is the only match that they announced so far for next Friday's show. Take a look at the Twitter poll for SmackDown first. 66% of you have given SmackDown a thumbs up, 22.7% thumbs in the middle, and 11% thumbs down. And over on the Rampage side, not too far off. Rampage is lagging behind SmackDown, but not by much. 60% thumbs up, 20% thumbs in the middle, and 19% thumbs down. So, go vote at Solomonster. You don't even have to be 18. You can go vote right now, regardless of age. And as far as Be the Booker, again, we are looking at 500 likes, and it looks like we'll probably hit it. We're about 20 away. That's it, just 20. So let's go to your Super Chats. By the time we're done, we'll probably be booking some matches. Take a look at your Super Chats here. Again, I thank you for all of the support all week. Super Chats and just, you know, live stream attendance. All of it has been fantastic this week. There's been a lot of news, a lot of crazy shit going on this week. Always good for business, but not so good for AEW. This has been the worst week in AEW history. And if you are an AEW fan, you are hoping to put this week in the rear view and hoping that next week people can forget about all this and get back to business. But I have a feeling this is going to be a story that's not going to go away. This is going to be a story that has implications for this company for a long time to come. Groovy Goose, Vice should do an episode about Larry and his account of the fight. And they could call it Bark Side of the Ring. Steel may pin the bite on him. Bark Side of the Ring. I prefer what somebody said the other night about changing the name of the video game to AEW Bite Forever. Put Ace Steel on the cover. Oh, we did it. Look at this. And Tomas is like number 500. Thank you for the 500 likes. Now we got to get to 600. I want to see 600. I was just kidding. I actually meant 600. We got Shinakuma. Thank you for the $5. 3B Creations, Jermaine, $4.99. Who do you have for best chop in wrestling? I'm torn between Great Tenryu and Kobashi. Oh my God. I'm going with neither. I guess Kobashi, you know, Kobashi would get most people's votes, but I'm going with Walter. Can't vote against Walter. Imagine Walter and Kobashi in a chop battle. Spicy Dried Chicken, I never thought I would ever say this, but Tony Khan's booking a wrestling show is starting to get stale. The MJF storyline is the main interest on AEW. Yeah, I mean, there are certain things that are getting stale. That's why getting MJF back right now, thank his lucky stars that he hasn't got hurt. Although anything can happen, let's not jinx it, but can you imagine if MJF gets hurt? What the fuck are they gonna do? We've got Spicy again. I love the AEW wrestlers, but booking the same matches over and over and over and over feels like the missionary position. Now we know more about Spicy's sex life than we ever wanted to know. Hey, Ride or Die TV. Just became a channel member. Ride or Die. I know all of you guys are like that here on this channel, right? You're Ride or Die as far as sound off, right? Right? I can count on you. I can count on your loyalty. You guys are my Ride and Die. JD from Texas, $5 super chat. Don't do the rematch yet. Imperium against the Brawling Brutes in a tornado tag Extreme Rules match would be very good. P.S. Hope you're well. I think that's exactly the right idea. You and I are on the same wavelength here. I say just run back the six-man with a stipulation at the pay-per-view. You can hold off on doing the next singles match with Walter and Sheamus for a while. I agree. Spicy again, Hit Row and Street Profits are better than AEW's Jericho Appreciation Society. Ride or Die says, I've been a follower since 2007. That's our debut year. You've been along for the ride for 15 years. You know, November, we're celebrating 15 years of the podcast. But he says two questions. One, do you think Triple H's true test is how? Well, he's not done. He's got to type out the rest. Von Tell, I think they run Usos and Profits one more time. Profits finally beat them for the belts after Sammy accidentally cost the Usos. Usos betray, then KO saves Sami Zayn. No, I don't want to see that. No. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, once they reunite, should be the ones to take the titles from the Usos. I do not want to see the Usos and the Street Profits again. I do not want to see the Usos and the New Day again. I want to see the Usos and Zayn and Owens. They are the ones who should take the tag team titles after 400-something or whatever. By the time they get to it, it could be 500 days. It should be Owens and Zayn getting that title win, not the Street Profits. We've seen it. It's been done. They had some really good matches, but they lost. It's over. No mas. Rizzo, I loved the fade to black as Cross choked out Drew, but the black and white has got to go. Also, a lot of WWE, oh, LOL at WWE taking a petty shot at AEW. I actually thought it was kind of funny. I'm not going to lie. Aussie of Steel, if Dark Side of the Ring comes back for a season 4, AEW is giving it some damn good subjects already. Hey, season 4. They're not going to have any shortage of material for season 4. You can do Vince McMahon. You can do all this AEW stuff. You could do Velveteen Dream. You could do Jeff Hardy. You can do fucking Tammy Sitch. You got the whole fucking season already lined up for season 4. Hiru, you have to go through the day to get to the night. Yeah, LA Knight is coming back. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. King Blame Blah, thoughts on the King of the Ring belt Mabel had made in 1995. I've seen pictures of it. I thought it looked interesting. Didn't look bad, but it never got used. I wonder where it is. I wonder if Mabel's family has it, or I wonder if WWE has it in their warehouse. Joseph Brooks, lots of people say WrestleMania 13 was Stone Cold Steve Austin's greatest match. Would you say the Backlash 2000 was The Rock's greatest match win? Also, isn't it pretty impressive The Rock beat Triple H, Stone Cold, and John Cena all at WrestleMania? No one else has. Oh, HH is Hulk Hogan. Yeah, I've mentioned that before. Nobody else can ever say that. He has beaten Stone Cold, Hulk Hogan, and John Cena. All at WrestleMania. Honestly, of all the things Rock has done in his wrestling career, that to me, the fact that he worked with all those guys and was able to get a win over, especially Hogan. Although Hogan wasn't in a position to be politicking anybody because he had just come back to the company. He had to be on his best behavior. But Rock going over on all three of those guys at WrestleMania may be his greatest achievement. Nobody else can say that they've done that. Ride or Die wants to know, what were my thoughts on how Triple H and Batista was booked? I think that it was phenomenal, but it was almost it was an accident. They were going to do Triple H and Randy Orton at WrestleMania 21, or at least that was the early plan. Batista just got over on his own. People just kind of flocked to the guy. They thought he was cool. He was kind of the silent assassin of Evolution. Got over naturally. They ran with it. And it launched Batista into superstardom. You know, maybe Batista's not in Hollywood doing movies. Maybe he's not off filming Dune 2 right now. If he doesn't get over because of that feud with Triple H, it could have changed the entire course of the guy's career. Miles Maribel, or Marib? Miles Maribel, we'll call him Maribel. I was going to say Marble. Which reminds me of one of my all-time favorite video games. Marble Madness. I wonder if I could still play that somewhere. Buy or sell, which Undertaker WrestleMania undefeated streak match that we should have gotten do you prefer? Undertaker against Cena or Undertaker against Sting? Undertaker against Cena. Before the streak was broken, back when Cena was still Super Cena and people were sick of him winning and they figured he was going to win all of his big matches, Undertaker and John Cena would have been, like, the reactions to the near falls in that match would have been insane. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, the Yankees collapsing down the stretch is hilarious to see and watch, and they were only 5 games behind them for one in the division. Well, I am not making fun of the Yankees because the Mets aren't exactly doing too well themselves these days, so I'm going to say no comment on that. Temjin Zephyr with the $30 Bully the Clown. Today's my birthday, and I thought of sending some love for all that you've done. Purchased my ticket to Grand Slam and hope to see you there. Also, I hope you select Crockett and Tubbs and be the booker if they are in it. I don't think they are. Not sure now, actually. I don't think they are. But anyway, everyone wish Temjin a very happy birthday. It is Temjin's birthday. Temjin is a big member of our community here. He is part of these streams every single week. I don't know how old he is, but everybody wish, get the emojis and wish Temujin a very happy birthday. Joshua Bonfield, I officially do not care about Drew. He loses. Well, he won tonight. He won by DQ. You want to, I'm just being technical. He did win the match tonight. Juice Giorgio with the 1999 Super Chat. Hey, Solomonster, been loving the content. Wanted to get your take on a WWE women's division idea. Since they begrudgingly brought back the tag titles, shouldn't they just scrap either the Raw or SmackDown women's title and make an IC level belt? I don't think so. I wouldn't do that. You know, they have two separate brands. They want to have a women's champion on one, a women's champion on the other. Fine. I look at the state of the SmackDown women's division, and I don't even see there. I mean, it's just, why even have any belt exclusive to SmackDown? If you're not going to put your best foot forward with the division, they got to get some new faces up there. They have to do a better job with the people they have. You know, at least Xia Li, for example, she's getting TV time, but what are they doing with her? Nothing. They're putting her in these 3-minute fatal five-way matches that don't accomplish a goddamn thing. So why even bother? Do a better job with the women on SmackDown. But having an IC level belt when you have one division that is just a complete hot mess right now? No, I don't see the need for that. I wouldn't do that. Rizzo with the $20. Completely forgot Nigel is with NXT UK until you mentioned it. But I agree, no need to break in. So actually, doesn't he do commentary on Level Up, that NXT Level Up show? I agree, no need to break in someone new when Pat will be back. Although there goes the Corey-Pat Survivor Series match we were thinking that we were heading toward. Yeah, I did think we were probably going to get that. If it's Raw versus SmackDown, I think we would have gotten Corey Graves against Pat McAfee. Brian Becerra with the $45. There it is. That must have been the Bratty Solomonster super chat that popped up earlier. I enjoyed the opener on SmackDown tonight. The Rumble is coming to City. And might go if ticket prices aren't too high. Well, the city he's referring to is San Antonio. Thank you, Brian, though. I love you, brother. EJ Slemp, rest in peace to the Queen. I hate asking this, but if Clash at the Castle was scheduled for this weekend, would the show have been postponed? No. I mean, they've had people die in the middle of their show, and the show goes on, so no. It would not have been, postponed. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, cannot wait to see Liv beat Rhonda clean. Not going to happen. I would change the title. Hiru, tag teams should not be brand specific. They barely have a division to begin with, so I have no issue with the SP or AA on SD. Well, I don't disagree that it should be that way. My point is it's not that way. They still give the illusion of there being a brand split, and therefore they should treat it like an actual brand split. If one day they turn around and say that all tag teams are allowed to appear on both brands, then great. I'm just pointing out how ridiculous it is to have a brand split or build to a draft when guys are just popping up left and right on whatever show they want to pop up in. That's all I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense. Either adhere to an actual brand split or don't fucking do it. That's always been my issue. Don't do it. Joshua says, please, can I request a supercut of you and Mox? Mox doesn't want to be bothered. Mox has been very cranky all week. He was supposed to be on vacation. He was supposed to be in Cabo San Lucas, and he got pulled back into Dynamite this week. I don't want to bother him. He's very cranky. Simi Valley, a little off topic, but when Randy Orton returns, do you think RK-Bro will reunite or be broken up? I would like to see them get revenge on the Bloodline. I think they'll be reunited, at least for a period of time. You gotta close it out. Can't just pretend it never happened. So I think they'll be back together. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, TikTok for life, bro. Cross world order. TikTok. TikTok indeed. Simi Valley with the $20 super chat. We're up, we're closing in on 550 on the likes. We may hit 600 yet. If WWE is able to get The Rock for WrestleMania, can you see them doing Roman against Cody on night one and Roman and The Rock on night two? Or tie it all into one storyline somehow? Maybe The Rock helps Cody win in some way. See, I wouldn't want that. I don't, you know, then it just becomes, oh, The Rock won it, basically. Cody didn't win it. The Rock won it for him. Cody has to do it on his own. So I don't want The Rock to help Cody win anything. And I also don't think that they're going to want to risk injury. Can you imagine Roman Reigns goes in there on night one and gets hurt? How bad would that be? I wouldn't do that. I'd protect him at all costs. I wouldn't even have him work any matches in the couple of weeks leading up to the pay-per-view. So no, I would definitely not have him pull double duty on that pay-per-view. Winston Smith, what's the best kind of cookies? I love M&M cookies. Chocolate chip cookies, tried and true. Oatmeal raisin, very good. White chip macadamia, also very good. I've also become a very big fan of coconut macaroons. Justin Jack, I am eating nuts while watching this. Well, better to be eating them than getting kicked in them. So thank you, Justin Jack. Winter's Paw, what nuts are you eating, by the way? I like walnuts, and I like pecans. But I also, I could also snack on cashews as well. Winter's Paw, hope they bring back Emma. SmackDown could really use her. Rizzo, what do you think of the updates from the AEW incident? Really sounds like Punk deserves most of the blame. I will talk more about that on the podcast this Sunday. I talked a lot about it on Wednesday. I'll have more to say about it on episode 773. Ted Corsi, or Tad Corsi. At this point, it would be near criminal to not show you some love for the content that you provide. Thank you. Thank you, Tad. Tad Corsi. Dropping some love. Here on a Friday night. You'll love to see it. There's our boy Paul Heyman. I'll get to him in a second. Turtlehead 2, so they removed the Elite and Punk from the credits, but left the scrum on the YouTube channel. Also, Colt is still making money off the Punk podcast. Yeah, I mean, it was taken down briefly, but that podcast has been up for years. And that hasn't really changed. Steven Santos with the $20. Do you think there is any chance to have Reigns wrestle twice with a Raw and SmackDown contender so that we get a world title back on both shows? No, you know, I've seen the idea floating around, and it's not a bad idea at all, of doing a ladder match with Reigns, and the opponent can be anybody. It doesn't even have to be Seth Rollins. You know, I mentioned the other night the fact that this November is the 10-year anniversary of The Shield. So if you did a match at the Survivor Series with the two of them, you know, this person, whoever it is, pitched the idea of it being a ladder match or a TLC match, which I don't think it would be because they still have a TLC pay-per-view, but it could be a ladder match. One guy, you know, Seth pulls down the WWE title, Roman pulls down the Universal title at the same time, and that's how you split the titles. And you protect Roman because he doesn't get pinned, and neither guy really wins or loses. It's just that whichever belts they pull down, they get to keep those belts. Roman continues on his long Universal title run. Seth takes the WWE belt back to Raw, and when Cody comes back, he can go after Seth and take the championship from him. I love it. I mean, I think it's a great idea, and if they want to use that as a way to split the titles, that's better than most of the ideas I've seen people coming up with. Dr. Dakota Scorpio. Not sure if it's the one that you talked about last stream, but I saw the Dark Side of the Ring parody clip with CM Punk, and I could not stop laughing. It's got to be. There's only been one. I think it's got to be the same one. It was very well done. I thought it was very well done. Bernard Frederick, my favorite part about SmackDown is Sami Zayn's entrance with the Usos. I am still laughing. He's great. He's great. The way he dances down to the ring. Then once he gets in the ring, he's like, yeet. Right? He's great. Red Emissary of Darkness. I got banned from an AEW Discord. Well, I don't know what you're going to do with your life now. You need to just kind of pack it up. You're done, man. When you get banned from an AEW Discord, I mean, there's no reason to even bother being part of this community anymore. You may as well pack it up and go home. I mean, that's like me being kicked out of a TNA fan group back in the day. Facebook group. It was like an Impact Wrestling, TNA Wrestling fan group, and you get kicked out of there, and it's like, oh man, I've been kicked out of an unauthorized TNA fan group. Whatever am I going to do with my life? EJ Slemp. I don't know which 77-year-old leader leaving I've enjoyed more. Vince leaving WWE or Tony La Russa finally leaving my White Sox. Tony La Russa is awful. He's just awful. Fire Panda. If it were up to me, I would have fired everyone involved in the fight after the media scrum. Steven Santos, do you think the WWE will have Reigns wrestle twice in order to get the world titles back onto their respective shows? Is that a repeat? I don't think it'll be twice, but again, I just mentioned one idea that they could potentially go with that I actually think is very clever. Vontel, better group of matches, HBK Angle or HBK Undertaker? I would go HBK Undertaker. Paul Heyman, 10 years ago on episode 236 of The Sound Off, Solo Monster went on a huge rant about the Hug It Out segment on Raw between Kane and Danielson. I don't remember this at all. I think you're making that up. But maybe I did. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, for real though, the chances of Shayna costing Ronda the title against Liv or helping Ronda destroy Liv and win the title back? Either one of those things is okay with me. I'm fine with it either way. And Winston Smith, I've never had a Slim Jim. Are they any good? I had a Slim Jim once and I thought it was shit. You know, in the commercial, they make it sound like go snap into a Slim Jim, right? You think that it's like, it's got a snap to it. No, it's just like a fucking piece of rubber. When I tried to bite into it, it was like hard to chew. It was all soft. Tasted like shit. Now, of course, if the Slim Jim people are watching this, and they were interested in a sponsorship, it could have just been a bad Slim Jim that I had. I would certainly have to try it again. Maybe I got a bad one. I could try a different one, and maybe it would be different. I'm just saying. Any Slim Jim folks who might come across this video, you know, let's talk. But the one Slim Jim I had that one time I thought tasted like shit. I felt lied to. I felt lied to by the Macho Man. I watched this guy as a kid. I watched him. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. He told me for years, snap into it. There was no snap. I'm like, where's the snap? There was no snap. Turtlehead, imagine if Vince fired Shawn and Brett. That would have taken balls. But he knows that they would have ended up in WCW. So for the survival of his company, and I could tell you that Vince McMahon was not grossing $100 million that year the way Tony Khan is going to gross $100 million this year with AEW. Tony Khan could fire a whole bunch of people and his company would survive. He could still continue on. If Vince McMahon lost Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels in 1997, he was done. I think that would have been too much to overcome. His two biggest stars. I don't know that he could have survived that. It was around that time that he came very close to filing for bankruptcy. Then you add in the loss of his two biggest names. It's very possible the company would have gone down the tubes.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
Fine way to end the week. You guys smashed the light gold tonight. I thank you for that. We have well over 500 likes on this video, approaching 600. I'd be even happier if you got us to 600 before we got out of here. That'd be cool. So let's book some matches, shall we? Let's book some matches. I always enjoy this. I always enjoy seeing what my booking skills come up with here and then come up with an interesting match. It kind of makes you think, what would that match have been like back in the day if we could have booked that match? Oh, for God's sake. It wasn't what I had in mind when I talked about wondering and dreaming about some of these match combinations. What the fuck? That's the second time this week I've landed on the Great Khali. Great Khali against Jim Cornette. I think that's the look that Cornette would have if he saw that he was booked in a match with the Great Khali. Actually, that's probably the look Cornette has for most things these days. If he's watching AEW, if he hears a Vince Russo story, that's the look of exasperation on his face. Jim Cornette against the Great Khali. Oh my God. Oh my God. Let's pick some ladies here. We've got Charlotte Flair, the queen. Former women's champion. How many times now has she been women's champion? 13 times, 14 times? I've lost count. Charlotte Flair going to go one-on-one with Bertha Faye. Now, you know, if Rhonda Singh was Monster Ripper like she was in Japan, Monster Ripper and Charlotte Flair, that might not have been a bad match. But Charlotte Flair against her in this gimmick, Bertha Faye, automatic fail. That gimmick was an automatic fail. Oh, but Vince McMahon is a genius, they said. Vince McMahon is a genius. Yeah. I'd like to see fucking Einstein come up with an idea like that. Some fucking genius. Starting to think half of it was luck. Tag teams, we begin with Homicide and Hernandez. LAX. Old school LAX. LAX going to get in there with Shawn Michaels and Triple H. LAX against D-Generation X. Pretty good. LAX and D-Generation X. The match I never knew I wanted, but I think that'd be a hell of a TV main event. I'd book that as a Raw or SmackDown main event. I'd put that on my show. Homicide and Hernandez. I would love to see, oh my God, I would love to see Hernandez try to give Triple H a border toss. Can you even fucking imagine? You know how many fucking guys he looked like he nearly killed with that border toss? Imagine Hernandez giving Triple H a border toss. Jesus. Well, that was interesting. Jim Cornette against the Great Khali and LAX against DX. I'd probably watch that show over Rampage tonight. Oh boy. Well, good shit. I enjoyed SmackDown. Rampage was fine. Quiet end to the week. Quiet end to a very tumultuous week. For AEW. I will have a lot more to say about the AEW situation. There was some more information that came out today. There are conflicting stories about, you know, who did what in the fight and who threw the first punch and this and that. But things have become a little bit clearer, I think, in the last few days, if you can parse through the information. My mind hasn't really changed much from what I ranted on the other night. And I'll talk about it more on Sunday as far as who I think should stay and who I think should go and what Tony Khan should be doing. But this is going to be a week to forget. If you are Tony Khan in AEW, you need to take this week and pretend it never happened. As far as your on-air product, focus on that. Look ahead. You've got a big stadium show coming up in New York in a few weeks. I think they took great steps on Wednesday to start building towards that show. And you want to try to put this in the rear view as much as possible. But Tony Khan is going to have a lot of very, you know, important decisions to make going forward about the top of his card and the makeup of his roster. And frankly, I think also the makeup of his executive structure in this company, which needs to change. We will have a lot to discuss on Sunday. Ricky Edmond, thank you for the $2. Don't be surprised if CM Punk leaves AEW. I wouldn't wait for him to leave. I would give him a little help out the door. Dylan W216 started Better Call Saul last week and love it. Thanks. Well, you'll be thanking me when you get into the later seasons. You're thanking me now. You'll be thanking me a lot later on. So enjoy it. It's one of those shows where I wish I could kind of erase my mind and go back and rewatch it for the first time again. It's good shit. We've also got Luis. Oh my God, I almost forgot about Luis. I haven't heard from Luis in weeks. Luis with the $10 super chat. Tropical Storm K and the 10-day long heat wave in Southern California will not keep Luis the Belmont Sentinel Alejandro. Will not keep him down. Screw this heat and acknowledge the bloodline. Yeah, I mean, what's going on over there out west? It's like 120 every day over there. I know California came very close to rolling blackouts the other day. They sent some kind of push alert text message out telling people cut your power consumption or we're going to start rolling blackouts. And they show the result of that text message. All of a sudden, you saw the power consumption just drop. People are like, oh, fuck, we better start conserving energy here. But it's getting scary over there. They said that it was 125 in Death Valley, and it's always hot in Death Valley, but then they were reading off the names of some of the other cities, and the temperature was not that far off from what it was in Death Valley. That's not normal. That is not normal. So it sounds like literally, that plus all the brush fires, it sounds like literal hell on earth in California right now. So I do not envy all of you guys over there. I guess, you know, look, just stay cool and stay safe. What more can you do? It's September. Hopefully the nicer, cooler weather will be moving in soon. September, you know, it's true what they say. September, I think, has the best weather of any month out of the entire year. You're at the tail end of the summer, right? But the real heat waves, unless you're in California, the really hot weather is pretty much behind you now. So it's not too hot. It's not too cold. Halloween is right around the corner. I love this time of year. I will be live again on Monday night for Monday Night Raw as soon as Raw is over. And, of course, on Sunday, it's episode 773 of the podcast. Lot of stuff to cover. So be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great night, and I will see you back here for the Raw review on Monday night. And, of course, 773 this weekend, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, which I know is the Solemn Monster Sounds. All right, guys, I'm out. Take care. Have a good one.